Good afternoon, everyone. As you can see, I'm going to also be talking about password managers. This is a joint work with Warren Herr, Dave, and Dong Song. So after 20 years of the internet, we are still using passwords. And however, unlike 20 years ago, now we are dealing with tens or even hundreds of passwords on a daily basis. So with so many passwords used every day, it's not really surprising that we have a password breach hit the headlines on a seemingly daily basis. So we spend most of the time trying to create and change our password to create a so-called strong password. And since the password are so strong that we end up spending the other 15% of time like clicking the forget password link. Or you may just like my dad that who never changed his password, and the attacker could take over his life if they figure them out. So fortunately, password manager provides a way out of this style scenario. This is a long list of benefits of using password managers. Most importantly, it frees us from memorizing all the strong passwords. Given these advantages, the popular media often recommend the use of password managers. Even the US Department of Homeland Security claimed that password managers is one of the best ways to keep your passwords. But are they truly secure? Given their increasing popularity, we decided to investigate a number of top-rated password managers. So before we get into it, let's briefly review how password manager works. As shown in the figure, Alice used a password manager to log into, say, Dropbox. Alice first logged into the password manager using her master username and password. Then in the step two, the password manager sent back Alice's credential for Dropbox. Finally, Alice used his credential to log into Dropbox as user in step three and four. So as the use of password manager involves different parties, it's expected to achieve the following security goals. The first one is the most important one, of course. It should be impossible for an attacker to authenticate as a user to the password manager. The second one is obvious. An attacker needs to ensure that the confidentiality, integrity, and availability of the credential database. Last but not least, linkability is basically a privacy feature, which ensures that the use of password manager should not allow colluding website to track a single user across different websites. Our threat model is very simple. We consider a web attacker. We assume a web attacker that can control one or multiple web servers and DNS domains and can get a victim to visit controlled domains. So we identify four key concerns of modern web-based password managers. So the bookmarklet vulnerability, classic web vulnerability, and the authorization vulnerability, and the user interface vulnerability. Surprisingly, no product was safe against all the four. In particular, all the password managers support bookmarklet are vulnerable. So let's start with bookmarklet vulnerability. Bookmarklet is basically a snippet of JavaScript code, which installs as a bookmark. And when clicked, it runs in the context of a potentially malicious context of the current page. By doing this, this allows the password manager to interact with the login form and to fill the credential to the relying web application. This is the protocol illustrating how Alice used LastPass bookmarklet to log into Dropbox. It involves a couple of steps. The first step is that Alice clicks the bookmarklet, which includes two security tokens. One is used to encrypt Alice's master key, and the other is another security token. Then the bookmarklet code basically is a step that loads the main code from lastpass.com. This code will load a LastPass page in an isolated iframe. And this iframe will load Alice's encrypted master key and the encrypted credential for Dropbox. And finally, by doing some post message communicating with the Dropbox page, and it will be able to get the decryption key to decrypt Alice's credential for Dropbox. And finally, it will send the decrypted credential to Dropbox and fill in the form and submit to Dropbox.com. This is, I'll show you a last part bookmarklet attack. So what happens is that when Alice clicks, and when Alice visits the attacker's site, when you click the bookmarklet, it works as usual that the two security tokens will be sent to the page. For now, this is the malicious page. And the attacker can extract both tokens from the bookmarklet using a number of different techniques. Then the attacker imitates the step six from the previous figure here. And then it can send the request as usual to LastPass. The only difference is that the parameter U is replaced by the another website, which is not the website, the evil controlled website. So basically, it can be an arbitrary website that the attacker wanted to know Alice's credential. Then the attacker used the encrypted credential sent back from LastPass and decrypt them as usual. Then it will be able to get all the credentials for Alice. This attack happens because that the request actually sent to LastPass. This one is not is vulnerable to cross-site request forgery attacks. So, as we can see, that the use of bookmarklet leaks sensitive data into untrusted page. All the password managers we investigated their support bookmarklet leaked their credentials to a malicious web page, including LastPass, RoboForm, and MyOne Login. Next, we study vulnerabilities in password manager caused due to the subtleties of the web platform. We focus on cross-site request forgery and cross-site scripting. We find cross-site request forgery vulnerabilities in LastPass, RoboForm, and NeedMyPassword. And cross-site scripting vulnerability in NeedMyPassword. LastPass provide a one-time password feature. Basically, this feature allows the user to basically print a list of one-time password that allows them to generate this authentication code for the master account, and it can be used only once. This figure shows how the LastPass one-time password works. Alice creates a one-time password locally, and then it's encrypted with a key with her username. And the LastPass will use the H value to authenticate Alice. And then it will use the key to decrypt it and to get the master key. This is how it actually works. What's interesting here is that, as you can see here, LastPass actually tried to protect the user's privacy by not knowing your one-time password or your master encryption key. To do that, so basically it hashes everything before you send it to LastPass. So a side effect of that is that LastPass cannot have a sure way to verify if this is the actual master key generated by Alice or not. So this allows the attacker to basically create a dummy message, like here. So it basically follows the protocol, only replacing the one-time password with something that the attacker knows. And also, it does not matter what the master key is. It just can replace it with a dummy key and also encrypt it with the one-time password. So the protocol runs as usual, only that after the attacker gets the one-time password, it can use the one-time password to log into Alice's master account. So after the attacker log into Alice's master account, the attacker can see the unencrypted information of the Alice, like what website they have registered with LastPass, or when it's registered, something like this. And more worse, the attacker can also simply delete all the credentials stored on LastPass. So this can cause DDoS attack. We now discuss some vulnerability that comes from the logical error in the password managers. Modern password manager include ability to share passwords with a collaborator. The figure illustrates the general protocol of how a user, Alice, share a credential of hers with a collaborator, Bob. In step one, Alice requests the password manager to share a credential with Bob. In step two, the password manager forwards the credential to Bob. So both Alice and Bob need an account with the password manager. Of the three password managers that support collaboration, we found that both My1Login and PasswordBox mistook authentication for authorization. Let me just show you how PasswordBox allow Alice to share her credential with Bob. This is how normally this, the protocol runs. The first one is the post request, which is made by Alice to share her credential to Bob. The first request include the collaborator Bob's ID and the ID that the credential Alice want to share. So basically after send it to the password box will make sure that the user is a legitimate user, subscribe to password box, and then it will send back all the information to Alice. So next time when Alice log into password box, it will download all the credentials, including those shared by Alice. So surprisingly, in password box sharing logic, it never actually check whether Alice owns the credential she is sharing. This allows attacker to share any credential with Eve. So this is a very simple attack. Basically, the attacker does not need to hack into a victim's browser. Basically, we can have any computer to set up to register two accounts, and we can easily get pretty much all the account that all the subscribed users' account in password box. Because they use predictable identifier, we were able to see there are over 4 million accounts registered on the password box. So now we discuss the user interface vulnerabilities. A major benefit of using password manager is their ability to mitigate the phishing attacks. Because the password manager detects the application that is open and fill in the right password. Well, not always right, as we see in the previous talk. Anyway, these advantages are moot if the password manager itself is vulnerable to phishing attack. Even worse, in the case of password managers, a single phishing attack can expose all of the user's credentials. We found two products are vulnerable to user interface attacks. We found both LastPass and the RoboForm, and I'll show you, both password manager and how we managed to hack into their user interface. So if a user is not already authenticated to RoboForm, the user need to log into RoboForm to see his credential. RoboForm creates an iframe in the current web application to log in the user, as we see here. An attacker can trivially block this iframe because this is iframe, not a regular dialog, can trivially block this iframe and spoof an authentication dialog that look exactly the same. So after the user type in his master account username and the master password, the attacker can steal the user's master credentials. Now we are going to see another user interface vulnerability with LastPass. Okay. This is a pretty quick demonstration. So what happens is that when the user wants to use LastPass to log into another website, if the user is not logged into LastPass already, it will pop out a dialog and it with a login link. So the user will click the login link and to log into LastPass website. Okay, that's it. So I'm wondering how many of you have actually noticed this is a UI attack? Please raise your hand if you do. Okay, I was surprised. So anyway, so this attack happens because, as we can see here, after we load the LastPass web page, the user will normally check the address bar. Thanks to SSL, we are assured this is a page loaded from LastPass. But the thing is that because this is a page opened from the attacker's website, so it has the handler to that page, which means that it can navigate this page to any page under the attacker's control at any time. So shortly after the user go to that page and check the address bar or something like that, it will change this page to another page. As you can see here, the address bar actually changed. Because this page is loaded from data URL, so the page even never blink. So it's really hard for the user to see the difference. But for now, this is basically the page loaded from the attackers under the attacker's control. So as we can see, after user submit the credential, all the credential will go to the attacker's page. So this is really serious UI attack. So we now provide some guidance to secure password managers. All the bookmarklet we started are vulnerable. The root reason for this is that the bookmarklet code executes in untrusted context. So we recommend bookmarklet load the password manager code in an isolated iframe and use post message with the right target to communicate with the application page. For classic web vulnerabilities, we recommend the use of a contact security policy and a CSRF prevention mechanism, such as CSRF token or CSRF header. We know this is not new, but the thing is that in realistic, many people are still not using it, even for those that are supposed to know security. For authorization vulnerability, we recommend a simpler sharing mode, which make insufficient authorization stand out. For UI vulnerability, if a user has not already logged into the password manager, as our attack has just demonstrated, the only secure way to log in is to ask the user to manually open a new tab and log in to his master account. To conclude, we found a wide spectrum of discovered vulnerabilities, ranging from logic mistake to misunderstanding about the web security model, in addition to typical vulnerabilities like cross-site request forgery and cross-site scripting. This makes a single solution unlikely. It remains to be a challenge for the password manager to be secure. And the developing password managers entails a systematic defense in depth approach. That's really all I have to convince you. Thank you for your attention.
Great. Thank you. We have time for some questions, and also if the next presenter can come up and check in with me really quickly, and then we'll start to get you set up. So I guess while people are queuing up for questions, I'm kind of curious what your thoughts are on both this talk and the previous talk of the future of the role of password managers. And also what do you use personally?
I want to use if I'm sure this is secure, but at this point I'm not certain this is secure. The reason I started this study is that I was struggling with password fatigue, so I was trying to use one. But after this study, you know, the answer is certainly that I will not use it, at least at this point. Yeah.
Thank you. So I have a mic here. I'll take a question over there.
Hello, I'm Jeffrey Goldberg from Agile Bits. Some things that were clear in the paper, but maybe not in the presentation, was that you were looking only at web-based password managers. And also, could you talk a little bit about how the companies, how the vendors responded to these vulnerabilities?
All of the company fixed their vulnerability like in a week or so. And some company tend not to fix some vulnerability, like RoboPhone tend not to fix the UI vulnerability because they think it's really ugly to ask a user to manually open another window to log in the user. Yeah.
Shuo Chen, Microsoft Research. So I'm asking a very high-level question. Are you more optimistic about the future of password manager versus single sign-on solutions? Have you thought about this?
Personally, I do not quite like single sign-on. That's part of the reason I look for a password manager. But at this point, I don't think password manager is in terms of security quality is not as good as we expect. So for now, I don't have an answer. But for single sign-on, I think. Personally, my major concern is for the privacy. So yeah, I do not want, because it definitely do not have the linkability privacy feature. So for me, I don't think.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Great, well thank the speaker again.
Thank you.